and they will scrap only if I give them the order. And you feeling itchy, you got something to say? Just know we hop this way. Nobody else is suited for this other than us. I know it's crazy, but we work with it and don't give a what. Welcome to the show. If you don't know the name, we call it Hop This Way.
Welcome back, all you itchy onions, to another edition of the Hop This Way show. It is I, your Tong leader, Zeus, and joined each and every week by my Tong here. Of course, we are missing the great, the heartthrob, if you will, because we know he loves that.
He loves heartthrob.
He is Mr. Chew America himself, but he's out there supporting SGA. And the WGA, the writer strike, and the actor strike. So, with that in mind, we send our thoughts and support out to everybody out there in the community. But right now, I have with us, taking over the crazy June part that Matt usually plays, we have the one and only, the lovely Miss Stephanie Young. How are you, ma'am?
What up? Hello, everybody.
What kind of weapons are you wielding today?
Oh, I mean, you know, just a sword.
Oh, God.
Just a sword.
Oh, my God. Now, I don't know why. I want to see a remake of Thundercats for some reason. All right. I don't know why. It's that sword. She showed us it's one of those fake ones.
I haven't watched that show.
Yes.
You've never watched Thundercats?
No, I did not have real.
I somehow missed that. I'm not really sure how.
Well, but I do watch old. I'm old. So
I remember it.
Well, you're my age, though. You're closer to my age. So.
Never mind. If it was the 80s, I probably missed it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely an 80s kids show.
Yeah.
And of course, you're hearing from the one and only professor himself, Mr. Frank Zhang. How are you, sir?
Good, good. Hope everyone's doing well out there. Looking forward to this one, the bottle episode of the third season.
Love the bottle episodes. These are always great. And looking forward to hearing what you each thought of it, because we haven't really talked about it so far. Normally we'll talk a little bit about each episode in our little group chat beforehand, but this week we haven't. And welcome again, Miss Rebecca Nishi. How are you?
Hello, hello. I'm fine. Very excited to discuss this episode, Brett Chan's episode.
Brett, our boy Brett. I do want to say, Brett, I spoke to Brett after watching the episode, and he wanted to come on the show. It was actually his idea, but because in the Actors Guild now, because we saw him this season on the show, he's not allowed to be on. They told him very last minute. I was going to surprise you guys with this, but much love to Brett, because Brett has been our biggest champion of this show.
We love you.
Brett's probably been on this show more than anybody. Brett and Rich Ting, I think, hold the record.
Yes.
Always commenting, always reacting to stuff that we post, also going live with us in the comment section. So
Just be Matt for one moment and say, viewers would like, you can go back to our YouTube, you can go back to our other old streams, and you can find Brett's presence on our show.
Right.
And the induction into our Tong. But he was already.
I mean, for anyone, like, that's the guy that deserves to be there almost more than anybody on this show, because I feel that he's got us a lot of the fans to follow us as well, that we've gained over the years, have come from Brett. And a lot of the people, like, Rebecca's gotten a lot, but so's Brett. Brett's reached out to a few for me, and I was like, all right, thanks, man. So
that's kind of why I threw up one video earlier about it was the one with just, you know, hey, remember, folks, Rebecca and I went to Cape Town. Whoa. Representing the Tong. And, you know, and then at the end, I had the video with Brett. So it was just such a fun, you know, just a fun presence. And it was just a blast. So I want to make sure that he was in there. My, you know, latest little reel. He's so much fun. We got to celebrate his birthday, you know, and wish him happy birthday. Nice. When we were there.
Well, see, that's awesome. I'm still jealous about that. Now, this is, can somebody help me with the name? Because I don't want to butcher it. I butcher everybody's name.
Newly.
Hi.
Stephanie with her sword ready to help a toy get revenge.
Oh, yes. Are you kidding me?
And then also
I want to be live.
The episode was quite different, probably because of all the extra characters and plot lines. Agreed. Now, every year with the bottle episodes, they leave and go to somewhere outside of Chinatown. This was the first time they went to two separate places. True. We go to Georgia and then wherever they go to find the Germans. But it's all out of Chinatown. So that is another thing that was a little bit different with this episode. And for it being a Brett Chan episode, I really thought there was going to be more action than there was. But Brett was out there stretching his directorial chops and showing that he can bring the drama and some beautiful shots as well. So, yeah, this was a fun one. I can't wait to get into this one. And Robert Carl Ringel, sup? Good to see you again. Good to see all of our itchy onions here. We accept all kinds. Onions, ducks, you're all welcome here. Always. Speaking of always welcome, we start off this episode with a not so warm welcome. We get Mai Ling, Lee Young, and of course, the heads of the Hopway all meeting up here. And this does not start off well. Is Young Jun says, I like it. We're not doing this. Did you think, Frank, when this starts off, what are you thinking? Are you thinking this is already over? As soon as Young Jun's like, yeah, I'm out.
Well, is this the same cut where Mai Ling was talking about whether or not Young Jun could trust Assam because of Assam having?
No, that's later.
A little later, okay.
Yeah, just a little bit later. This is how the episode opens up, and
yeah.
They're all in the different chop shop, I believe. Right, they're not at the chop shop yet because he's like, they're like, why are we meeting here? And they're like, we want to meet somewhere discreet. And then they moved on to there. And yeah, then Mai Ling was like, yeah, keep an eye. Like this was that one right there. She was like, keep an eye on them because Assam has got
Yeah. Well, that was the part when they were giggling together and everything. Yeah. So yeah, it feels maybe it's set up to fail, but we do hear Young Jun later in the trailer that you guys were pointing out before, right? That they are talking about, there's a clip where Young Jun's talking about peace. So, but right now,
peace doesn't last long.
Yeah. You
know, so something like that.
It never lasts, something like that. Yeah. So now it is, and it is Mai Ling being clever as well. She keeps trying to plant that seed of doubt. Hey, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
She's always trying to plant that seed of doubt between Young Jun and Assam. Right? Because if she can break that pairing, then the Hopway essentially fall apart from within.
Is she the smartest out there or the most Machiavellian of all the characters on this show?
She's always playing.
She's never
relaxed. Yeah. She's never cool. And the smart move of her in this scene is like trying to putting Assam and Young Jun like in opposite sides or make it intriguing. So she still can be on the top, because if they are not quite trusting each other, she can manipulate both of them.
Very good point, because planting seeds of doubt. So she's doing it with, you know, Young Jun right here, but she did it with Assam in a different episode and talking about, you know, Young Jun not being a strong leader, blah, 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 blah. So she's been doing that. So right, Rebecca.
Love this. New Lee says Mai Ling's face when Assam called her an asshole.
That was what she got offended by. Yeah, that was good.
Can somebody please tell me how to say asshole in Cantonese though? Please. I need to know this.
I don't know. Nobody ever taught me. Well, twice on
East. Off air. Elise also says, poor printer girl getting caught in the middle. Mai Ling planting more seeds of doubt.
Yeah.
Will Yami break the curse?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Let's see. I feel like now she will, though, because now it feels like it'd be too much of a layup the show, for the story, if it did. Oh, sweet.
Thank you, Brian. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian, there was a huge spike because I literally went through my friends list doing a whole huge slew of invites. I'm like, doop, 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 doop. And then one that last post, those are all my friends on that last post, love like it. Just a couple hours ago. I'm like,
Tori, Myling, and Chow, super smart.
Yeah, different mm-hmm. types. Yeah.
And what about Buckley? What about Buckley though?
Buckley, Lee, you know, there's different types of intelligence in the show, mm-hmm. right? Because that's what makes the character so interesting too. Because is Lee smart or is he dumb? You know, is Myling? I mean, Myling doesn't do anything dumb, but she definitely does things that are destructive. So you know,
this is what Steph and I talked about earlier before you guys got on and before we went live. The one thing that I admire most about the character of Lee is he is Superman. He's Superman and Captain America. And what I mean by that is not that he's unstoppable, not that he can do everything. It's that he will always do the right thing, no matter the detriment to him, no matter if it's going to cost him his own life or anything like that. Lee will always, and I'm talking Officer Lee, will always do the right thing. And I think on this show, he might be the only character on the entire show that always does the right thing.
Hmm. I wonder if they're going to start messing with that certainty, though, at least in Lee's mind, especially after this one.
Yeah, I mean, they mess with it a little bit the season before, getting into opium and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And they talked about this episode.
Yeah, and in this episode, it quite intrigued me. I don't know if you can get there already. The one he shot, I think, was quite surprising. But I don't know why he did that. I think he didn't think much. He just did.
Just acted.
Because yeah.
The bottom line, what I saw in that moment was, you know, even though it was his cousin is still the one in power with the gun on someone, and his cousin turned his gun on an unarmed man. So I think in that moment, that moral code was, yes, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. It was autopilot. It was autopilot that, you know, you're turning the gun on an unarmed man. And I think that cop version in him, it just kicked in.
Robert says Lee is the most intelligent for sure. Forensics, come on. That's right.
He's Southern Sherlock Holmes. So
yes. He's the most educated.
Educated, yeah.
Yes. You're absolutely right. Mike Baker says, spoiler, you know he had a why did you make me do this when he shot his cousin. Kid could have walked away, and he talked to him so much about that. We're jumping really far ahead here. Let's get into the review as we already started in there. We opened up with, you know, the two sides working together, and I like the talk between Young Jun and Myling, where Young Jun's like, "Listen, you slept your way to the top, blah blah blah," and he's like, "Whoa, I'm not hating. Don't get this wrong. I admire what you did. You know, you're smart and you took balls to do this." And he's like, "But don't think because I was born into this that, you know, I'm weak or soft." And just that Myling acknowledging him afterwards, I don't know. It kind of gives me a weird vibe that we are going to see an amalgamation of the two Tongs at one point. Anyone? Hmm.
Well, she was still, you know, talking about it out of the other side of her mouth to Buckley, that she's going to keep war in the streets. So she says that to Buckley, and then we have a preview of Young Jun saying, you know, peace never lasts. Mm. So, how much can you actually trust Myling, unfortunately, when she's saying those things? She still likes to drop little nuggets to get the person to trust. Like she comments about, you know, you better be careful, that look, exactly. So she, you know, you see Young Jun have some respect for her there, that, oh, well, she's divulging like something that I didn't notice, and meaning our mutual benefit to pay attention. So I think, you know, he's loosening and maybe trust her, but the next trailer ruins it because something happens.
I don't know. I haven't seen the next trailer yet, so.
But yeah. Myling says, I don't want to fight my own people anymore. And Yong Jun just says it's bullshit. You want
right, to right.
the whole thing. Since you jumped in Longzi's bed, you are planning this. And then he gets to say, and I admire you for that. You
Yong Jun.
Hard to get here. He doesn't mind it.
Yeah.
Don't knock the hustle.
That's it. You know, you got there how you got there. And then we shift from that to the opening of the train here and some beautiful shots we've seen. Mm. And we'll get to it later, but every transportation scene that we see in this is just beautifully shot. The scene just like the shot just before this one where it's on the train on the outside. Great. Same when they're in the carriage. I mean, it starts on the grass and works its way up. I mean, just some really beautiful shots there.
The lights.
Yeah, the lights coming through there. And I don't know how much this is on Brett or, you know, his team, but
photography.
Cinematography, yes. Because when they pan in and they did a lot in facial expressions, I feel, this episode. Like honing in on Lee when he wakes up, they really zoomed in close, like getting those expressions, and then headed over to Chow. So there was a lot of that, very detailed. Like, so not for nothing. Also, the makeup very good because everything was gritty. You know, it was for sure. It just was perfect. It was just perfect. It wasn't like something seemed out of place. Like, oh no.
New Lee says, "Mai Ling playing both sides. She's right. They have too many enemies outside of Chinatown."
Yeah.
Yep. Well said. Oh, hey, it's the bombshell blurred. Welcome back. Mai Ling told Buckley she'd give him peace now when she was in jail. So I don't buy that she generally wants to be cool with the Hopway.
Yep.
Yeah, she's been saying that since season one also.
Yep. New Lee says maybe later she'll be forced to rely on the Hopway in this alliance more. I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. We mentioned this, I think, last week on the show, and I brought it up, and I don't know if it was on the show or we were just talking together, but could we see Mai Ling and Assam form their own Tong?
At least the alliance of a convenience for the time being. Yeah.
Because I don't think she's long for the Long Z. The head man's happy with her.
Right.
Not with Li Yong also, the Li Yong factor as well.
Sorry, Chow, but it's kind of your fault for trying to betray Lee, says New Lee. Agreed. So we saw them on the train there, and Lee wakes up and tries to go after Chow right away and realize he's chained up there. And Chow's like, yeah, I tried that already while you were sleeping. I believe him. I believe that he literally wanted to kill Lee while Lee was sleeping, and they set it up so he couldn't. So I love Chow's character, but I mean, he's a dark dude. He's a dark dude who looks out for himself a lot. And I think Lee really led into that and leaned into that and hit him with some hard truths on that train as well.
I mean, I loved the dialogue between them because Lee has always felt like protective about the Chinese when he was in the law enforcement.
Yeah.
And he always looked for the human side of them, you know. But when he spoke about Chow, he was very, not deep, seeing only one face.
One dimension.
Like saying that he would sell his own mother or
his own son, yeah.
Yeah. And Charles said that's what you think about me. That's pretty simplest.
It's funny you say that because that's what Ryan and I had a very quick chat about, is that, you know, Lee said that, but we've also seen what happened with Chow's child, with his daughter. So, you know, you, again, Rebecca hitting the nail on the head because, you know, there's that whole other level that we know about Chow, but, you know, Lee doesn't, you know,
exactly.
but then, you know, Lee's giving it back to him saying, you know, basically, you know, talking trash about his relationship, like, Happy Jack, you know, they were, you know, this was not a surprise and she was probably in on it. But then you flash forward and she stands up to Happy Jack and she's like, dude, did you have something to do with this? He's not like that guy. He's not that guy. So everybody, you know, it's coming out. Everybody has respect for Lee. You know, you're right. Happy. Superman.
Yeah, he Superman. Is. He's the ultimate Boy Scout, honestly. Spencer Benjamin Yee, first time here, I think. Thank you so much. I hope Chow learns from this experience. He needs friends in this world. I think
Chow's friends with everyone.
Yeah, Chow is friends with everyone. Good callback there, Frank. The one thing with Chow is, with this episode, and we'll get to it at the end, we find out that he does learn from this. I think it's pretty evident by the way the episode ends. There's a lot of you guys. I love you guys. Robert says, try and think of one dirty deal that Chow hasn't been a part of. Go on.
starting with the opening scenes with the Sam getting sold.
Yes.
So,
and
yes.
As a matter of a fact, I'm not sure if he came back to save Lee or if he thought like, I need someone to get out of here. I'm not from here, from this
right.
place. I don't know where I am.
The best is, he's like, you came back. He's like, I needed a horse.
Or what about the horse fact that he was getting a cut? He was getting a cut from Mai Ling for bringing those, you know, the duck women to meet her. Yep. You know, he's getting a cut from that even.
Yeah, he's Robert says none. He's in every piece of dirt in Chinatown.
Everybody needs him.
New Lee says Lee and Chow bonding road trip. They got each other right away, parking holes in their respective philosophies, yet still don't know the whole story. Like Chow actually giving away his daughter. You know what? I don't know why. That just reminded me of, and then I just lost. It reminds me of, Steph, you'll remember this movie mostly, Midnight Run.
Wait, was that
De Niro and Robert, and it's a bounty hunter and his guy that he's trying to catch, and he catches them, and it's basically them becoming friends along the way as you're trying to get them back, right? So I like it. Amazing train scene. Chow is now my favorite character.
This is my big brother, Tom.
Looking forward to the growth in relationship between these two characters. Thomas Silcott. As you can tell, that's one of Steph's friends. Thanks. All right. So as we move on from there, we move from the train to seeing the Hopway meet outside and start to discuss things. And they decide that they're going to go for a trip. Well, Young June decides that and tells Assam he's coming. And Assam's like, what for? He's like, I need a translator. He's like, but I don't speak German. He's like, yeah, I'm sure the Krauts don't speak Cantonese either. You're coming. And then he tells Hong he's staying. He's like, what? And he's like, you need someone to run the place. He's like, oh, okay. Like, Hong is my favorite. He's such a kid. There's one part, I think it's in this scene too, where he's like, oh, what? You just, it's better than sitting here waiting for Mai Ling for us to grab our ankles and bend over and hug us. And Hong laughs like such a kid. And the look they give him, like, really? Really? Like, even Young June gives him the look. Oh, it was so good. And then we go from there. So they decide that. And, you know, Assam's got to go get a little sticky before he leaves. And I mean, his girl is so smart. Like I feel like she is giving us her fate every episode. She's telling us, I'm going to die because of Assam. This is what's going to happen this season.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to die and that's going to kill me. I'm not going to lie. I'm that guy. It's going to kill me. Derek, love Midnight Run. Derek, do you like my analogy there with Lee and Chow then? All right. So, yeah. What do you think about this whole relationship? I'm going to start with you, Becca. What do you think? Is Assam's girlfriend right? Is she not long for this world?
I don't know. What Assam is always... he's like, he's very needy person. He always have to have someone. always have to fall in love with someone. And I don't know if it's going to be a good end for her.
No.
And she told him, you can't promise me that you can protect me, because you can't. So
yeah. You're absolutely right. Frank?
I feel like they won't kill her off now, because of what you were saying last week about the fridging concept, and also the fact that she does keep pointing out her possible fate or her probable fate. So with that being said, I'm curious to see what her and Mylene's interactions are going to be, because she's going to be kind of watching that situation, because she's with Assam, and Assam is Mylene's brother. So what would that be when it comes to her potentially working her talents behind the scenes, in addition to just printing? She's overall just a smart person, and she's resourceful, and she's not afraid. So
well said.
Is it that different from Mylene at a certain point previously? You know,
very
good point.
Survive and then get ahead. And she does seem smart, just like Mylene. Steph, this seems like it's for you. Thomas,
that's exactly what I was thinking.
No, I mean, this comment here from Thomas that says, rip my heart apart to actually see the historic actions of this capitalist country burning down the vineyard. My goodness, what a scene. And then next he follows that up by saying, love you, Stephanie.
She's a survivor.
That was last episode, the vineyard, but that was
that killed me. All of that. She's a survivor, and it's interesting, because I'm not sitting here saying I'm a toy. I'm not saying I'm saying I'm any of them, but a lot of what she says, I chime with. Her reactions, it's not the same. It's not like I'm in any of those same situations, but I so feel her responses. And is it that scrappy survivor? I hate to say it, but I feel it. And so I don't think they would kill her off. I agree with Frank, what he's saying, I do like them together. And I like that she's, she's sharp back with this, and it's not like she says a lot. So it's not overly dramatic lines. She's to the point with these things, but you're right. Now Mylene is mentioning her as a threat, but I think she'd find a way to watch out for herself. We saw that with her, smuggling money. She's gonna figure out a way.
Shout out to her, that actress, for being able to make it sound like Yemi thinks everything is stupid. She's like, and that's why lightning comes before thunder.
I love it. I honestly love it, because she's
rolling her eyes with every word.
Honestly, any father of daughters has seen that before, because that is both my daughters, and I love it when it's happening. When it's happening to somebody else, I love it a little more. And then that brings us to Happy Jack. We got a quick scene with Happy Jack and Lee's girlfriend. What is her name again?
Abigail.
I always want to call her Penelope, but that was Mr. Blake's wife, right? So we got another scene here with Happy Jack and saying, hey, maybe Lee just left you for another woman, and she's like, that's not Lee's way. And I mean, she knows what's up here, but is Happy Jack a villain, or is Happy Jack just as bad as the majority of the characters on this show?
He's just a businessman.
Yeah, I guess.
But think of the era that we're talking about, and who wouldn't turn somebody in for a bounty like that?
Right. And he double crossed the person he was double crossing Lee with, though. So he double crossed Chow while they were double crossing Lee. And he's like, I just did it better than you did. I don't know. Just as bad. Spencer says just as bad. Yeah. I can see that for sure. Newly says she and Mylene getting along and dragging Assam.
Assam's cooked in that case.
Yeah, he is. So we go back to the train, and that's where Chow and Lee are going back and forth at each other. And Lee's hitting Chow with a lot of truths there, like we said, but Chow hits him back with some truths too, like you were saying, Becca, like, you don't know me, especially when it came to the mentioning you'd sell out your own child, if it made you a buck. All that happened, and there was all that tension happening, and then we get to meet the family. The Lee family shows up and takes them off board. Still at this point, Chow doesn't know, because he kept asking Lee, like, we're going somewhere because of you, like, to collect your bounty. Where are we going? Who are these people? And Lee hasn't really told him. And then we get to meet this fine piece of work. I don't know who this actress is, but what a fantastic job she did. I fucking hated her character so much. And that's just a compliment to how great she was. Right? Like, if they
terrifying.
If they remake Wizard of Oz, if they remake Wizard of Oz, she's the Wicked Witch of the West. And that is not meant as a slight at all. I mean, what a fantastic job she did.
Billy Burke.
Billy Burke?
Those eyes, man.
Billy Burke, the one? No.
Oh, I thought you meant
the one who played, who I can't remember. I almost had in the tip of my tongue the name of the actress who played the Wicked Witch.
Oh, no.
She was able to.
She played Glenda. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, though. What were you saying, Frank?
Oh, no worries. She was able to have this weird eye expression going on while she was talking. So it kind of added that double whammy when she was talking about, like, when she was talking about where she buried her kids that Lee killed, what she was going to do when she did kill Lee, or whether or not where she was going to take them, and, like, how casually she talks about Chow. It was freaky because it was so cold.
And her name, this one. Was her name Aunt Violet on the show?
Yeah.
So Aunt Violet, sorry, let me bring us all back into here. Aunt Violet was played by, I'm just on IMDb here. Aunt Violet, Patricia Boyer. Miss Boyer, you did a fantastic job in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
And wow. I mean, so terrifying. So we just want to make sure we gave you your flowers because you definitely deserved them in this episode.
All right, that's going to give me nightmares now. Thanks.
You know who she kind of reminds me of? Who was that character in Ozark?
I never watched Ozark.
It was like she reminds me of a character that was in that. You know, this character they're similar. And they're creepy like that. And real.
New Lee says the rage of a mother losing her children, but still terribly racist. Oh, exactly. Robert Carl Ringo says she showed an immediate threat. Crazy eyes. Yeah, man. Like, whew. One last time. After that, I need a drink. And so did Lee, Leary, as he went to go meet all the political uppity-ups, if you will. And, I always forget his name. I'm sorry.
Strickland.
Dean.
Strickland. I want to call him Stanfield.
Strickland.
Strickland. Showing him the ropes there. And he's like, hey, let's just go have a drink. And Leary gets a whiskey and... I'm sorry. This scene was so good. This might get us in trouble on YouTube, and I'm sorry, but it was too good not to reshow it.
Whiskey. Which gun would you like, sir?
Do I look like I care?
He'll have the 18 here.
Fucking hell. Another one of those. Fill the fucking glass up this time.
He looks so uncomfortable in that suit.
I was thinking about that. He looks tense. He's such a very good actor because in real life, he's very chill. And Leary is very tense. Completely different from his real personality. And he really shows in that scene how uncomfortable he is on that party, on that suit. Very good.
New Lee says people getting whipped this season. Yeah, we saw that a lot in this episode. Yeah. Steph, it was Lisa Emery, Darlene Schnell. She's brilliant on Ozark. That's who God said you're talking
about. Yeah, you know what I mean, Tom. That's who she reminded me of. Ooh, yeah.
Robert Carl Ringo, Buck Strickland's great granddad. Okay, I need more. Is that the real life thing?
Who's Buck Strickland?
Yeah, I need more information on that. And Newly says, Strickland's story getting too close with Leary. Hope a toy will still kill him. I think everybody's hoping that, but Strickland is he's a good villain for this show, I think. I really think he is. He's got more power than Buckley, but are we at the point where we're starting to get too many characters, like that we couldn't keep him on without killing off someone like Buckley? And I don't want to lose Langley at all because he's awesome.
But you know, let's go to the other conversation that they had. Okay. So the running mate, you know, what's the other contender? What's his name? Thayer? Is it Thayer? Yeah. Thayer. Right. So he totally like throws Thayer, like basically, I know what happened with your daughter, and, you know, put him in his place, right in front of Leary. And he basically said to Leary, Thayer's an honest man. I have no use for an honest man. So this is just telling us right now, Strickland is banking on Shady Buckley. Like that's who he needs. That's who's going to keep all of these other shady wheels going.
Buck Strickland. Sorry, that was King of the Hill reference. And the bombshell blurted from King of the Hill, Hank's boss. See, I did not know, but now we all know. This show is just we teach you about everything here. So we saw I like the whiskey, and then it was time to meet the Germans. And this was an interesting meeting coming in here. First, even when they just got to the city and none of the Germans wanted to let them in. And then like the guys at the front and like, sure. To be fair though, they would have done that to anybody coming in, except for they wouldn't have asked anybody if they were coming in there looking for work. And I love Assam's reply. Do you think fucking we'd be coming to many Chinese coming here looking for work in full suits?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on, use your head. Was great. Then they met the Germans and this reminds me of one of my buddies who's a wrestler that I work with. This looks like Tyler Hill. It's not him, but my God, this guy. So out there, and he's like, I will work with you, but Father June, why did he kill my dog? And then Father June comes up, shows this dog bite, and says in German, the cunt had it coming. I'm like, oh my God, it was so good. And then, of course, the German guy was like, yeah. And like, and Assam was like, oh, I guess that was a joke. And he was like, no, the dog was a piece of shit or whatever he said.
Well, the German guy is Charlie Bugenon. He's a South African actor.
Oh, right, but
is his
job.
Brother really his brother? Those guys, what they did a great job making those two look just like brothers. Mm. Because if they're not, that was perfect. That was perfect casting. Oh my goodness, because they were both creepy in the same way.
The end of the episode was so good. Oh yeah, well, we'll get to that. I don't want to jump ahead too far there. So, your next comment.
One thing about the Germans and the comment about, you know, the dog and you killed my mutt. Okay, do we add all of this up here? He was talking about, you know, Father Jun being around when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And his father's business. So now this is giving you a little insight into what Father Jun was doing.
But he said beforehand, that's why they went there, right? These were Father June's people they dealt with before. So
right. So that could give you a whole other little side, you know. Listen. We need a side tangent on just Father Jun.
Robert Carringo says that I thought he looked like Justin Timberlake's aggressive bald cousin. Go ahead and look again. And now I can't unsee it.
His brother looks like extra angry Jake Paul. So
I'm going to start calling you RCR. And that's RCR for the win right there. Wow. Yeah.
Are they Kruger brothers?
I don't like it.
This is what they call the Krauts.
When they Krauts get there, Assam says something like, tell the Kruger brothers. I think that was the name. I thought it funny because the beard one that was talking to him actually His real name is Shane John Kruger.
Oh, nice.
No, from South Africa.
Love it. So next, we didn't get a whole lot of Leary in this episode. Well, we got more of him than we did a lot of the other characters. But next we see him and Strickland, and they're off doing a little political strong-arming, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And Leary is learning the best way to bully tactics in the political realm.
Mm-hmm.
And Strickland might be making a monster he can't control. Like, this may come to bite Strickland in the end, or in the ass in the end.
We know in the trailer that something else goes down. Because remember in the trailer...
For next week?
No, the trailer for the whole season.
Oh.
There's a moment where there's a railroad explosion and Leary's staring at the fire. So,
right.
It was kind of, I think it was in the second half of the trailer, but it looked like Leary's standing there staring at the fire. I don't know. Maybe it was a quick edit to trick us, but that's what it looked like from rewatching the trailer earlier today.
Well, I'm going to have to check that out again. So next, sorry.
No, I was just going to say that Strickland is teaching, I would say Dean, Leary, not to be too strict to the point and be more like smart.
Yeah.
Strategic.
Well, he even says to Leary at one point, he's like, try not to bite the hand that feeds you. And he said, that guy needs to feel the teeth. And he's like, mm-hmm. Oh, I can't disagree with that. So I think they're teaching each other, but it's mostly Strickland taking Leary under his wing, but Leary's going to do it his way. And then we go back to the Germans and the Hopway, and they're finishing up the deal and everything's good. And then as they walk outside, one of the lines that it's a great line, but I fucking hated it. It made me hate these guys even more, is when they're seeing all the Germans out there and he's like, we pay them peanuts and then we get rich off them. It's the American dream. No, it's like, oh fuck. And like, I felt like Assam did at that point. I'm like, you motherfucker. Someone. Like, I want to headbutt you right in the nose.
A few ones.
But they did the best thing they could. They go to the bar and have a few drinks. And as they go there, there's...
Good Lord.
This is a brothel, right? So, you know, there's a very large German woman who comes out and she's like, do I have to do them all? And then Assam's like, no. Just him. Points to you.
Just the tiny one.
And they go on do their thing. And young June
loves it.
And there's one point where she gets on top of young June and Brett swears that this had nothing at all to do. This wasn't a shot at me. But she called him Little Zeus. Brett, that's not cool, man.
That was priceless.
That's not cool. There's never been a reference to him ever being called Zeus before.
That was Little
Zeus. Brett, are you fucking kidding me, man? I get we're boys and all, but come on, man. Everybody's loving it. Newly, that pussy line killed me. Jesus, come here, my little Zeus.
I just stood there puzzled for a moment. I was like,
right?
He has lightning? What?
I'm like, because we've been doing this show since before they came back, and we've had all of them on. And Brett, we've been really tight with Brett, and you know, I'm like, we're guys, and like, damn it. Please not. No. But anyways, Derek Chin says, that's how Hollywood studios work too, bro. Creators get peanuts. They make millions. Hell yes. That's why the strike is going on right now. And call them back to those Cinemax days, says Spencer Benjamin Yee. Right? When they were on Cinemax, I mean, it felt like they went even heavier in the sex and stuff. But That's all right. I can't feel my body, says Young June.
That was the line. Bats.
When the first trailer came out, I can't feel my body.
And then he burst out laughing. Yeah.
So great.
I made a collage with all the sex scenes of the trailer.
Yeah.
They put it very fast. And I posted on a story.
I gotta go see
the Trooper sexy back, and he reposted.
No way.
Oh my god, you got play from Jonathan Trooper.
I think he shared one of our stories too. Another one of ours too. I thought he did.
Sweet.
I think
that's it. When this strike is over, Trooper, you're on the show.
Yeah.
There's a few people I would love to get on the show. Like, we've been so fucking lucky. Of course, I would love to get Koji on this show. Love to have Hoon on because I'm a huge Banshee fan. Like, love Banshee.
Hello.
I'd love to have Shannon on just to just to pick her brain. Not even about the show, just about her life and life in general, philosophy. But, oh my god, I lost it. Who was the first person we were talking about there?
Trooper,
GT.
I sent him a message. I said, you know what? I know you get messages and you'll probably never read this. And I sent Shannon a message and I know she'll probably never read this, but I can't express how much this show means to someone like me.
Yeah.
I said, I wish we'd been able to thank you in person, but you know, when we were there, but I'm like, I'm just grateful. It was something mushy.
He's so good.
I had to express it. And he did see it. So he saw it. It says scene.
Robert Carl Ringel says that's the love story we needed and never knew. I mean, yeah, we did.
June saw God.
And then when she wrote what the actress wrote back, I think in the Warrior Group or something, someone, or she commented somewhere in response to, you know, all of the feedback that it was just such a pleasure, or maybe it was her post. She just really loved it. And I mean, hey, she did a fabulous job.
Derek Chin says, Valentina. So funny. She made such a big impression. The actress burned up the internet. Nice gal named Larissa. Well, thank you.
So happy for her.
Yeah, that was a great scene.
Awesome.
And I don't want to jump ahead yet. So we'll get to that. But we saw Father June and Assam talking. And Father Assam was just, you know, being straight up with him. He's like, you're chaos. Everywhere you go, you're chaos. And he's like, I respect what you do for my son and stuff like that. But, like, will these two ever see eye to eye, do you think? Or was that Father June's way of kind of not seeing eye to eye with him, but at least being able to be like, all right, here's me acknowledging you.
Yeah, like some camaraderie.
Mm.
I think so. It was chill, you know. I think it was good to have that moment.
It's good to have those moments generally too, because you know, we talked about from the beginning about Asian representation on the show. You don't see many moments of middle-aged elderly Asian men sharing advice with younger Asian men. You know, that's why those scenes between him and Young June, I think, are also very impactful.
Mm-hmm.
On top of the fact that they're well written.
Yeah, agreed. And then we see Assam and Young June move outside and they start having a conversation. And this is where Young June like actually says to Assam, I was an asshole. Like, you could have left me there and I could have crossed the salt and been back in China. And you did what you had to. And Assam doesn't say you're welcome or anything. He almost reluctantly like, well, yeah, man, like this is, like, he doesn't say anything, but it's like, this is what we do. That's loyalty. You're my brother, right? Yeah. Bros before rows. Rowing across.
Oh, my God.
Stupid.
Bros before wind sails. He was peeing on the statue before that. That was what was even funny. The insertion of comedy in random moments here with sound. It made the episode ebb and flow better, I think.
I wonder how much of that was on Brett, like adding that humor, because Brett's a funny dude. But after they finish this nice moment outside, they hear a noise,
mm-hmm.
and they go and check out, and they see these Germans beating the crap out of a young boy. And Assam and June are like, "Yo, like we're not having this." And it almost came to a head And then the head German dude comes out and was like, no, we have no problem here. Let the boy go. And he's yelling at his own man, let him go, let him go. And he does. And everybody kind of walks on their way. And I think young June even said, like, this isn't our fight or something like that at that point. I know.
That was
I know
later.
I don't know. Perry says that to him later as well. But I know young June said something in lines at that point, too.
Their territory, their rules or something like that.
Yeah, I was like, are we going to have a problem here? I don't know, are we? And this, I think they did a great job. We mentioned it with these bottle episodes. They're always just going to one location out of Chinatown. This time they broke it up. And I thought they handled that very nicely, too, by going back. And really, consider Leary as well, because that was another section that was added to this. So this had actually three different story arcs going on at once, which was really nice. Then we get to this carriage scene, and this is the one that I was talking about was so beautiful. I didn't get the shot that I wanted, though, of it, of the carriage driving past, and it was like a nice horizon shot and the grass and everything. But anyways, this was a great scene. The building, the character building, and the character bonding in this scene was just great. Get out there to the family again. Chow doesn't really want to help. He gets thrown down. His shirt gets ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see the scars of Chow and see what Chow's been through in his life. And Auntie Violet says, looks like he's already been told a couple times now. And Lee's hating this. Lee tries to help. Again, knowing that this family, his family, wants to kill him. And he just doesn't care. He's like, I'm going to do the right thing. And the right thing right now is stopping them from beating on Chow.
His aunt says, you very helpful or something. Very kind with other people, but not with your own kind, your own family. And he says, you have never been my own kind. It's like he never felt like belonging to that family, I think.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. This scene just kept going. As Lee tried to prevent them from beating up on Chow more, Chow takes this opportunity to book, and he rabbits out of there, and rabbits hard. And honestly, there was a part of me that thought he wasn't coming back. Like, the majority of me, I'm like, oh, he's coming back. Like, that's the story, you're right. But then I'm like, this is Warrior, though. This is JT. That could be Chow just leaving as well. What did you think, Steph? Did you think Chow was coming back, or did you think he was gone?
He's the survivor.
He's the survivor. He wouldn't come back, though, right?
Meaning, you know, go back. Well, I don't know.
He wouldn't go back as a survivor.
Well, I mean, he was going to make it out of there, but, you know, I mean, I'm not saying this is predictable, but the suspenseful portion is like, he's running away. You don't know what he's going to do next. In that moment, you're always questioning, is like, is he going to go back to Lee? But, you know, I don't think they would have done any of that character buildup if he would have just jet. No. And so, you know, you know that part was going to come up. Something was going to happen. And I mean, and yet you're still surprised when it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just badass. So, you know, Chow is too important, and I don't know. I don't picture a scenario where he would have left and then Lee just be left hanging. Too much happened.
Yeah, and it's only because of the stuff that happened. Yeah. And I think there is, like, even the part where Lee had saved him there at the end too. I think a lot of that had to do with it. But, you know, you saw there was parts where it was messing with his mind with whether he was going to come back or not.
And notice how he didn't talk back at all. I mean, he didn't, of course, because he didn't speak English, but he was pretty quiet, and that's because he actually had that piece that he wrangled from the train.
Yeah, he had
to pick the lock.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a beautiful, beautiful scene here. I mean, a great bit of acting here with Tom. Lee and his cousin. Yeah, Tom and his cousin. What was his cousin's name there? Was Carter, I believe. But yeah, both these actors just laid it all out there. And I mean, it was emotional. And you could see the younger cousin just struggling with it because he wants to do the right thing. And he knows that it's almost like he knew that Lee was right for doing what he did. And that's Carter was played by Sven Rugrock. Yeah, just a fantastic job there. And
I can see, I'm not sure, I don't know, but I can see Brett directing the actors because, I don't know, director can direct the whole thing, the scenes, the montage, but he also direct the actor on the scene. So many of the scenes, I can picture Brett directing them. True. So cool. I think he's going to be the next David Leitch.
Maybe. Derek Chin said he needed a horse. That's why he came back.
Yeah, I know.
Says later.
I believe so. He was completely honest. I need a horse.
Robert Carl Ringo says, as a survivor, he has a better chance being with Lee, a Fed, than running on his own across the land.
Yes, mm-hmm. I believe so.
Yeah, I can see that.
He did need a horse. The horse is
Lee. He did. Yeah. A horse named Lee. All right. So then we head back to the camp. The deal is done. They decide on, yes, we're going to do this. We're going to work together. Let's cheers it out together. Did you guys notice? Obviously, you noticed Sam dropped his drink, made it look like he was having a shot and didn't have any. I thought because they did that, I'm like, oh, shit, they must have poisoned it. And like Father June and Young June would be like slowed down and they're fighting and stuff, but didn't have anything like that. I watch far too many spy shows. But so that happens and they all leave and they're heading out of town. And then there's the ruckus outside. And then we come to find the young boy that they thought had been freed wasn't. And he was killed and was tied up with a sign that said thief. We see Shannon Lee making her acting comeback. And I mean, this is not an easy scene to come back and grieving the death, not death, the murder of her child. And then we see young June trying to tell him this isn't our fight. Assam looks at young June and says, this is our fault. And this is where Perry's like, this isn't our fight. And he's like, isn't it? And then next thing you know, the trio walks back into town. And in this is where, I want to say this is where Brett Chan shines. But we got to remember, Brett was the director on this episode. So this is all Johnny Yang.
Yeah.
This is all Johnny here, right? Yeah. And Johnny's Brett's right-hand man. So I think we're, I know we're always in good hands. And we had Johnny on the show too. I'm sorry. I don't want to mess up your name here. And I don't want to. Raghu?
Oh, yeah. He's in the group all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good to see you on here, man. Good to see you.
Yeah. He's great. He says every actor, whether they are series regulars, recurring character, guest stars, all shine so well. The writers really do a great job of making sure every actor shines. Yeah, absolutely. Shannon Lee guest starring and showing dramatic chops. Just beautiful. Desmond Ramon says, Roman says, I didn't recognize Shannon Lee. I didn't at first. In this scene here, when it was her son up on the wall, or on the poster, I didn't know that was her. I didn't know it was her until a little bit later on, and we'll get to that next. The bombshell blurt said, who knew Father June was strapped? New Lee says, Shannon Lee. Yeah, so they all walk back into town, and then Perry pulls out.
Oh,
I love this scene.
See,
they just the two of them just move. They separate like the Red Sea parting, and out comes Father June with a shotgun, and he's just blowing suckers away. And I mean,
I think that's my favorite part. I really do.
Oh, me too. Andrew does a great job here. And did you guys notice there? This was all a one shot up until one point. So from the point where Perry gets behind that statue there, it's all one shot, one continuous shot. I clipped it, but it was too long, and we'd get thrown off of YouTube for that, for showing it. But it is a beautiful shot. Well done. And it doesn't end to right here when young June does his part where they jump out from behind the wall here. And they do a really good switch there, which was great. And then we go, we see Justin Timberlake's angry older cousin. bringing out the gun there. And then he ducks away into his little hiding hole to let everybody else fight it out. But of course, Assam goes to follow him there. And as he goes to follow him there, we cut back to the courtyard to see a very angry Shannon Lee with a pickaxe taking out some folk and taking out the right-hand man here. You can see this is a shot right to the eyeball there. I mean, she did great. And there's a lot of stabbing going on here, not just from young June. Even Koji got into it here with after he takes out every German in that room. He takes out the leader, stabs him a bunch of times, pulls Vlad the Impaler on him, and gives him a German German suplexes him into this spike here. And then just here, watching him gasp his last breath and choke on that blood. I mean, Andrew, that's Andrew, that's Brett, that's everyone. Just make sure you get that emotion. Like
that fight choreography was insane. Right there at the end, that last scene, you know, Andrew, I was glued. I had to rewind it quite a few times. Yeah. It was great. Oh,
so we have to give credits for Jason Neen. It's NG, the surname. I think it's Neen. He was the fight choreographer. And Johnny Yang was the second unit director. And Brett was the director of the episode. So Jason,
And then we saw our buddy Petra in there, who was the head trainer, right? Mm-hmm. Right, Rebecca?
Yeah, Patrick shooting. Yes,
we saw him. He died. He plays one of the bad guys.
That's okay.
I have to make a print of every stunt that I saw in this episode because, of course,
you knew everybody there.
Brad had to pull the line for him, so he made lots of close ups on the stunt. So I'm gonna do print.
Look at Rebecca flexing. She's like, I'm gonna print out this picture of all my friends. There's my friend. There's my other friend. Oh, I know them too. I had a drink with them.
Oh, Steph too.
Have a video of me walking down the street with a bunch of the stunt guys saying, Auntie's got it covered. I almost fell.
We got a bunch of comments here, and then we're going to try to get out of here. We're going a little late. I want to first, though, before we get into these comments on the end of the show, big thank you to everyone who's joining. This is the most viewers we've had during the show. At one point, I know this isn't going to sound like a lot because we get a lot of the viewers that will watch afterwards once we repost it, but we had 31 of y'all on at the peak. All at one time. So that means we're averaging, for the most time during the show, we've got at least 25 people watching at one time, which is huge. The little show that could. So big thanks to you all. Much love to you. And let's keep the fight going. Hashtag Warrior Max. 6 seasons and a movie. Not just
bring
for community.
Season 4. Hashtag.
Bring on 6 seasons and a movie. Let's do it. New Lee says, 3 of them versus a whole bunch of Germans with guns. All right. RCR says it was half Big Boss, half Tombstone. Brett Chan killed it. Yes, and his entire team. New Lee says the leader was dumb, had a gun, but waited until he killed everyone. Yeah, that's every movie. The suplex, though, right? And Rag says, Shannon Lee was just badass. That pickaxe, after the impaling you saw, the Bruce Lee moment with Assam. The 3 amigos, says Desmond. That's funny. On my show, Rat GTV, we do every Saturday, we always do like a top 5 list. And our top 5 list last night was our top 5 favorite fictional cowboys. And on my list was the 3 amigos.
Just I have to comment one thing that we didn't when the with the German when they the deal was closed, the German guy gives like a crazy laughter, and Yeonjun makes the same, and they like laugh into each other like crazy, and then Yeonjun makes a face like he's crazy. What the hell?
And if Yeonjun's saying you're crazy, you're crazy. And then we got so it's all ends. Koji comes out, he sits on the porch, and we see Shannon and Jason walking back and
scrapping.
Was it Shannon? Or I don't know if it was Shannon or Jason says to Father June, like, oh, I didn't know you know how to shoot a gun. He's like, it's not that hard. It's a shotgun. You aim and you shoot. And then and then this happened.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
He dropped to his knees, and we found out that he had been clipped in the belly. And
but Shannon, you saw like, it.
Yeah. It's like, you knew that. I missed it, honestly, and I watched it twice. I missed it both times.
The facial expression. So when he's leaning back and he's taking some shots, you could see him like, you know, have a pained look on his face, you know, but when he was against that post, it kind of hinted a couple times. I'm like, no.
Oh, see, I missed that.
Yeah, he was leaning against and he'd like winced and, you know, a couple of those actions.
Do you think
John just joining in now? John says young June with big German lady was hilarious.
Yeah.
So what were you gonna say, Rebecca?
Too good. Do you think we're getting to that scene that we saw in the trailer and we were wondering who was inside the coffin with the hot?
I can't even think about it.
All of them.
Yeah. I don't know yet. I'm
said that before since the beginning.
We will find out. Spencer Benjamin
la, la, la.
Says, you guys got a great show and love the Midnight Run reference, Zoo. Well, thank you very much. And thank you for watching the show. I love having you guys come in, and we started this for fun, and this kind of just our tongue formed organically, which was great.
It's almost 3 years ago, right?
Oh, my God.
What month did we start?
I couldn't tell you. I can't even tell you what month we're in right now.
I think it was March 21.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Right around there, somewhere around there. So 2+ years.
I agree. New Lee says, I'm afraid Father June won't last long. I had a bad feeling since the last
episode. La, 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 la,
la. He'll only go back to China when he's dead. Yeah, that's a prophetic saying right there. The bombshell blurred says, if we lose Father June, I'm going into mourning. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least, but he'll be with Bolo.
But then
Bolo's doing tours.
You have a Martin.
What is I listen?
Something's
you know
up.
How close I am with Rich, and I've talked with Rich last. Not saying a word
because he and Shannon are at these appearances. Right? These like things are coming across.
I'm telling you, we're going to see him this season. We have to see him this season. Anyways, after Father June gets shot, there they leave us in suspense, and it goes back to Chow and Lee, and we see Chow running away and everything, but he comes back and knocks out one of the gun players or one of the cousins, Carter, and then he takes out the aunt, and then for extra measure, and we saw the blood come up from there, and it was pretty brutal. No hesitation in him slicing her. Then Carter pulls his gun out on Chow and Lee tells him to put it down, but it's too late. He has to take out his own cousin. You see Chow's face right there, and it was at this moment, I think, where Chow reached his character redemption of this episode, where he was like, oh shit, it's not about Chinese, it's not about white, it's not about South versus North, it's about humans doing the right fucking thing. And look, I just saw the Boy Scout right there as we hear Siri saying, can you repeat that? But this took some toll on Tom, and Tom is putting in all the work this episode, and he always does. I'm not gonna even be audacious enough to say who's the best actor of this show, because there's so many great actors and different performances call for different things. But oh my God, he gives us so many great emotional moments throughout this entire series. That being said, that's almost how this episode ends. this is how it ends. This might be something else that gets us in trouble, but just watch. What a moment. So we see Lee trying to dig the graves for his family because he's Superman. He's Captain America. He does the right thing. But then Chow joins him, picking up a shovel. And you see, he puts in that first one, the camera pans up, and you see Lee. And he almost gives him a sort of smile. And he's like, yeah, all right.
Surprised.
We're brothers now.
Mm-hmm. Respect.
What a great way to end this episode. I got a few more on here. Sorry, folks. Derek Chin says, love you guys. Zeus, don't let anyone flip you over anymore. So you guys know that I have this. You guys know about the, I have diverticulitis. I don't have this on here. I would upload it for people to see.
We love you too, Derek.
I've got this weird belly issue that, you know, with my intestines and stuff. I did an audition, folks, is what they're talking about. And I posted online where I went above and beyond. Normally in an audition, they're like, okay, what's going to happen in the scene is you're going to get body slammed to do this, blah, blah, blah. And it'd be a stunt person that take the body slam. But for my audition, because I work in the wrestling business, I went to my friends and they body slammed me. Literally in a ring for this. I've never taken a body slam in my life. I had to learn how to do that. I take seven of them filming that. Seven of them. One of them was good. And not because of the guy giving them to me, because my fat ass didn't know what I was doing. And since then, my diverticulitis has been flaring up. So I'm such an idiot, basically, is what I'm saying.
It was good though. You didn't even break your pace of talking.
So they called me back right away. I'm going to Toronto tomorrow morning for a callback audition. They changed the script and I have to take more hits.
No,
you know what though? At that point, I'm sure they'll have a stunt person for me, but whatever.
Okay, good.
Do you mind if I call you Rag? Is that James Hong? I don't know if that's wrong or not, but I hope they get James Hong to guest star. Wow. At this point, we saw it.
Yeah.
I don't know if I posted it on here. We all posted it on the Warrior page though. Warrior, the number one show worldwide on Max. Number one. I'm putting up two ones there, but number one on Max.
Brain Warrior season 4.
Warrior is great. And it deserves all those accolades, but so do so many of you fans that help this show keep going each and every week from the hashtag Save Warriors. People like Rebecca Nishi, who, started Save Warrior page. And it helped us with this movement. When we started this Tong, Rebecca was all right, make sure we're hashtagging this, hashtagging that, and so many others were like that. Steph
and there was no season 3 to be had yet. There was no season 3, so we all got along and got together is to fight for it.
Yes,
Rebecca, and Stephanie, then Amy and Karen also.
Amy and Karen. Oh my goodness, I was just thinking about them earlier too. Badass. Putting together the GoFundMe, the article.
RCR says, spread the word on the Hop This Way show and Second Screen Warrior if you can.
My sister did that just from your recommendation, too. Nice. I was so proud of her.
Rag says, Wang Chow and Lee are now brothers in arm. You're absolutely right, they are. Chow was the MVP, says Desmond Roman. Lee says, and send in all your, everybody else, send in your MVPs. I gave you mine. I'm going to get the rest of the tongs here as well.
I have one comment.
Sure.
to all of the fans in here, you want to watch, I think, possibly one of our favorite episodes, go to our YouTube, because you need to see the episode, because there's so many new people, okay? So many new people. Oh. You need to go back and you need to watch the episode with Tom Weston Jones and Nicholas Pauling.
Oh my God, that was
I just made my neighbor sit through it. I'm like, I can't. That is my favorite. I can't even digest how much we were laughing. I mean, I love them so much. So
we're gonna bring them both back on.
Absolutely.
Honestly. Like,
that was awesome.
It was great having on Jason and Perry and Chen and, I mean, everybody. But, oh, my God, I never laughed.
So the two that are never on social media.
Emily as well. Emily, oh, my God.
And then she deserves a credit.
Yeah, man. I mean, so many. We've been really lucky. We had Rachel on that first year from the first bottle episode.
Mm-hmm. Reza and...
No, just...
Didn't Reza come on?
Yeah, we had
Reza. I missed that one. I wasn't on that one.
We need a warrior movie. Add Jackie Chan and Donnie to the cast, and let's go. I do fan art, by the way. John, if you do fan art, do that for us. Do a fan art. And I'm sorry, like every artist loves hearing someone say, make this for us. If you would be so kind, could you please make a warrior movie poster that includes the cast as well as Jackie Chan and Donnie Yen?
I know your work from Instagram, John. Great. Great artworks.
New Lisa says only 4 more episodes. It's going to be insane, guys.
It's stressful.
The Bombshell Blurred says that was awesome. LOL. I've been binging your channel. Lots of great guests. Oh, thank you so much. And that was the Bombshell Bird Blurred. I want to say the Blonde Bombshell every time. Bombshell. I'll be okay. Then. I will be all right. Now, I gave my MVP. Do you all have your MVP for this episode?
Well, for me, it was Father Jun, because we waited a few years. I mean, no joke. This went through my head. Like, we've missed Father Jun. We've missed him basically for 2 years trying to, you know, get him back. Okay. So the fact that, you know, we see him come back in the last episode, he gets out of jail and everything, but seeing Perry, seeing Father Jun decked out in his, you know, in his Father Jun mode, I mean, impeccable, that sense of authority, that elder, and he's back. Mm-hmm. It was, I just could have, you know, just so ecstatic. But then he still defers to young Jun, because given the situation, he's not the head of the Tong. So seeing all of those, you know, the deferment, and then when he comes out badass with the shotgun, I mean, I was screaming. Like, that was just my favorite point. And so just all of that. But again, the elder mode and how impeccably dressed he comes out of the stagecoach, you know, when they first see, you know, he comes out with the young Jun shows the wad of money, and there's Father Jun, you know, in the background, just dressed to the nines. And it's just what you expect. We missed him, and it's all there. It was just Perry and all of Father Jun. It just made me happy. It just made me happy.
Love it. And Troy agrees. Father Jun is classy. And Robert RCR says, MVP Assam again for vengeance sake. Rebecca, who was your MVP this episode?
My Ling. I know she made just one short scene, but she makes a so smart move but by putting Assam and Yeongjun in opposite sides, or like maybe like Stephanie said, planting a seed on doubt between them, so she can still be on the top and manipulate both of them. So that was pretty smart of her. She's a great player as usual.
Yeah, she is. She's one of the best for sure. And like I said earlier, I think she may be the smartest character on the show. She's definitely the most Machiavellian of anyone on the show. Frank, who was your MVP this week?
Father Jun also, because of what Stephanie was saying, offering the advice of an elderly, more experienced experienced individual in that position, right? Who's to say he wasn't a Assam 30 years prior? It's basically what he says. And also, the fact that it's actually, I think it's actually consistent with his character the whole time, because his character has always been very thoughtful, very meticulous, very very reflective on what's been going on in his life. So this is just kind of that continuation into this third season. And also just the dialogue. This scene, I think, sealed it for me when he said, a man is chaos first. And then he said, that used to be me, but then he said, I grew the fuck up. So right. It was strong wisdom delivered with a lot of harshness.
Definitely. I like it. I there's not a bad pick there at all. I mean, there's so many MVPs. We could have said Shannon was the MVP of this episode too. I mean,
she just saved them.
Looking at her acting and everything else. I do want to, I want to put out one thing here. Let's give all the flowers to Brett Chan. Let's give all the flowers to his stunt team for stepping up. Everyone taking a step up the ladder from where they were to take on jobs that they weren't necessarily doing before. They all did a fantastic job. When I was talking to Brett online, I'm like, Brett, you know, this is really cool, you know, that that you're doing this and you're getting recognized. I'm like, at some point, at some point you're going to be the new, you know, the new director that everyone's talking about. And he's like, oh, you're going to have to check this out. And I don't have the piece here. I thought I did, but I don't. But Brett is actually directing a movie. I posted it in the Warrior group on Brian's group there. And he is directing a movie with Andrew Koji, where Andrew Koji plays a hitman who gets trapped in the body of a young black kid, which is going to be great. So I love it. It's like 13 going on 30 or Big, but with hitmen. So cool. I'm fucking down. Brett Chan, Brett, you're the man. And yeah, I can't wait till this strike is over so we could, so you all can talk to Brett again, like we get to. So, cause you're missing out on a lot. Before we take off, some more comments here. You guys are great. John says, thanks y'all. I'll see about doing that movie poster. You rock. Thank you so much.
Desmond, the other part, I think you mentioned, Zeus, or did we already talk about this, about the significance of Shannon being in that episode and just the timing of it?
Oh yeah, for it being the 50th anniversary of her father's death, which we didn't even get to speak about on this, which is sad to think, you know.
They had to have done that on purpose.
Or a happy accident. I'm not sure. Either way, though, I'm happy it worked out the way it did. Desmond says, Father June was a badass and My Ling was her devious self. Brett Chan and Little Zoot. You're not funny, Derek. You're not funny. I'm telling you, if I ever make it as an actor and I get onto this show,
we'll have Baby Zeus and Little Zeus.
Yes, I will be Big Zeus.
Little Zeus got to go on Mount Olympus.
Oh my God. That's Agent Mosley.
Basically altered carbon. Oh, yeah, that's what the movie seems like. 16 is the name of the movie.
Did you say Mosley?
Him.
Nick.
Yeah.
Nick.
Oh, yes, him. Oh, and you're tuning in on YouTube, guys. It's so much. It helps us. I love that you're watching on the Warrior Group page and watching on.
Oh, like Alter Carbon. Page. Oh.
But Alter
Carbon was good.
Yeah. It really helps us a lot if you subscribe to our YouTube page. So if you can, please go to the Hop This Way show on YouTube. Give us a like and subscribe. Comment on YouTube. It really, really helps us. We're trying to get our subscribers up there, get to that super chat spot, and trying to do everything we can to make this the best show possible for you fans, as well as, you know, a little bit for us too. Derek says, right, it's called 16, which is the name of Brett Chan's new movie.
Oh, okay, got it.
Brett Chan did an amazing job. Such an intricate episode. Oh, so much so. Shannon Lee guest starred on Martial Law starring Hung.
Oh, that's a callback. That's a callback. Thank you for that. Right? Oh, man.
Damo.
Howdy, Nick. Taking off makeup in DC.
Oh, we love your character. We love to hate your character. Great job.
That smile is terrifying. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Robert, you are doing God's work there. Robert Carl Ringel says, I'm watching on Facebook and YouTube. Awesome. You guys are so great. We're all waiting to see if Mosley is still alive. Ooh, time will tell. We will get into
that. He's still alive.
Well, we'll get into that more moving forward. Folks, this was an absolutely fantastic show. So great having so many of you fans come on and interact with us. Just so you know, we do take these videos down and then repost them just on YouTube only. So you've only got an hour to watch it, and then you'll have to wait till I think Monday or Tuesday when they get uploaded there. Steph, you got anything to say before we go?
I'm ready for the next episode. Okay. I'm ready.
Becca, do you got anything to go on?
Just keep spreading to the world. Keep watching. Watch as many times as you can. And each episode again and again. Watch 10 times each episode, please.
Do your thing. Do your part. And the Professor Frank, what do you got, buddy? Any pearls of wisdom to go out on?
What?
Any pearls of wisdom to go out on?
I don't know about pearls of wisdom. More like, we only have four. Someone commented earlier, we only got four episodes left. There's a lot that still has to happen. So, holy shit.
With four episodes
left. There's going to be a lot. It's going to be stressful.
With only four episodes left, though, it really makes me think we're getting a season three for sure. And season four, I should say. And honestly, with it being the number one show worldwide on Max, I don't see how it does.
That's incredible. Happen. And from like Europe and East Asia, I think it said. So
yeah, that's I've got that one here. It's right here. And it says, Stream on Max has a new king. The third season of Warrior, the crime drama by Jonathan Tropper, has earned its spot thanks to its popularity in Europe and Eastern Asia. So awesome.
And then a few people posted that there was the CBS in the morning, when the morning show, there was a whole segment on Bruce, on Shannon, and they brought up Warrior. So that aired this morning. So two friends of mine actually mentioned it to me, and some folks posted it in the group. Amazing. Yeah. And then we won't even mention my little trigger, which I'm just going to do that one little blurb because I forgot that I went on a tear. I think it was on Derek's post. I'm like, listen, the biracial references here, the things that no one's really talking about, it's all there in all of these episodes between the half-breed boy who was killed. It's there. It's there. So I could go on for days and I won't.
Yeah.
It's there.
Raghu says, if you get a chance, check out Banshee because Hoon Lee, good God, is just incredible. Banshee is the reason why I started watching Warrior because I love Banshee and I became a fan of Jonathan Tropper and Anthony Starr, who's now Homelander on The Boys. Mm-hmm. Him and Hoon Lee were like best friends basically on that show, their characters.
I think that Job is probably one of my favorite characters ever.
Yeah, like Job's great. Hoon's great and everything. And Desmond, I'll let you have the last thing here, says, I'm waiting on the return of Zhang.
Yeah.
They show, yes. Oh my goodness. Yes, please. But I mean, he's been busy directing. You know, he's been busy directing. So
he is. He's done great. This show's done great.
So this season, I just realized something. This season wraps up at around the same time of the 50th anniversary of Enter the Dragon.
I just got chills.
Let's see. Oh,
yeah. There's going to be callbacks.
What is going to be this four episode arc? August 19th, 1973, Enter the Dragon hits theaters.
Damn. I can't.
I wish I lived in the U.S.
Man.
Let's do this. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you had a fantastic time. All you itchy onions, ducks, or however you identify out there, each and every one of us love you so much. And we love you for coming in and checking out our show that honors this great show called Warrior. For Steph, for Rebecca, for Frank, and for the striking Matt Chumerica. Matt Chua, that's right. We all want to say we love you, much love, and hope you all have a great day. And of course, don't forget, we all want to get, let's get tickets.
Hey.
You're the worst at that. Thanks all.